Blog Talk Radio.
Talking political news, cultural topics, and a little witchy stuff, too. This is Conservative Cauldron Radio with your host, Becky Noble. And now, here's your conservative Wiccan, Becky Noble.
Correct, as always, once again, it is time for your weekly dose of conservative witchiness. I know, it's such an oxymoron. I wish I had a dime for every time people looked at me and went, huh? Yeah, well, it's all in the package of one just lovable little fuzzball myself. Good Friday morning, everyone. TGIF. Merry Christmas. Happy Christmas Eve Eve. You are listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio. I am Becky Noble. Thank you, everyone, for hanging out with me on this Christmas Eve Eve. I know everybody is running around like crazy people trying to get everything done before Sunday. But you know what? I think you have to kind of, yeah, it's crazy, but it's fun too. So thanks everybody for chilling with me while you are getting everything in order for your Christmas festivities. And also a happy Hanukkah to our Jewish friends. It is also a very sacred time for them as well. And so we hope that they have a very happy, very safe Hanukkah celebration. You can call in here. The number is 347-857-2620, 347-857-2620, or the chat room, as always, is open for your convenience if you want to go that route. And you are also listening to Red Nation Rising Radio Network, www.rednationrising.us. Tons of awesomely talented people and two live 24/7 streams of fabulous conservative internet talk radio. You name it, and we are talking about it at Red Nation Rising Radio Network. You know, you can call any one of our hosts, and I'm sure that they are willing to talk about just about anything that is going on, because you know what? We want more voices and more views and more opinions, not less, at Red Nation Rising Radio Network. That's how we roll, people. But so check that out, please. You will not be disappointed. But as always, we've got a ton of stuff to get to. Never a dull moment in the world of politics and the world of Donald Trump being the president-elect and part of that world being the left just losing their collective minds and just – I don't think that anybody can talk them off the ledge at this point. I think they're just they're bound and determined to jump off. And wow, you know, I think maybe there are some rational thinking, you know, people, Democrats that of course maybe are not happy with the outcome of the election. But they are being rational, normal, thoughtful people that they may be saying to themselves, well, you know what, let's do the best we can with what we've got and hold Donald Trump to account like we would any other politician, because that's what he is now. And, you know, when he does something good, let's give him the credit for it. But when he does something that we don't like, by God, make your voice heard like you would with anybody else and say what you think. But topping my stack of stuff today, of course, is the terrorist attack in Berlin this week. And let's call it what it is, because we do use the phrase radical Islamic terrorism here at Conservative Cauldron Radio because, well, that's what it was. And the latest on the suspect who has been at large, been on the run, I believe, for most of the week, he has been killed in a shootout with Italian police. This is a report I have from Reuters from this morning. And it says that Italian police shot who they believe to be the suspect in a truck attack at the Christmas market in Berlin this week. He was killed in a shootout with Italian police after he pulled a gun on them. So, you know, when I read that, I thought, well, what's going to happen now? He pulled a gun on the cops, and so the cops shot him. So are we now going to hear about what a rotten childhood he's had? And are we going to have people talking about how terrorist lives matter? Well, you know, I don't know. But so that is the that's the basics of it. But the suspect, 24-year-old Tunisian Anis Amri, he had traveled to Italy from France, and that, of course, triggered a whole spate of criticism about the open border. Basically, again, let's call things what they are: the open border policies that are going on in Europe right now, and that are encouraged by the European Union. And it goes on to say here that Amri is suspected, of course, of driving the truck Berlin Christmas market on Monday, killing 12 people. And security forces across Europe have been trying to track him down. Again, he has been on the run for most of the week. And the truck, of course, mowed through a crowd of people and bulldozed wooden huts selling Christmas gifts and things of that sort. It was just a little, market set up outside a very famous church in Berlin. ISIS, just maybe a day or so ago, militant group Islamic State acknowledged Amri's death and his suspected role in the German attack. So ISIS has taken responsibility for this, and they have kind of claimed this guy as their own. And this report here goes on to say, quote, the executor of the Berlin attacks carries out another attack on Italian police in Milan and is killed in a shootout, it said. And this is a report that comes from a source called AMAQ News Agency, A-M-A-Q. And this is interesting, too, because AMAQ News is described as – see, it's a little vague here. It'd be a German news agency, but that doesn't really sound like a German news agency. So I am left thinking, and possibly a lot of other people thinking when you read this report, that ISIS has its own news agency. Well, we know how media savvy they are, and sadly, that wouldn't surprise me if they did. But this also goes on to say that this took place near Milan, Italy. Milan Police Chief Antonio De Lesu told reporters that Amri had arrived in Milan's main railway station from France around 1 a.m., and then he had traveled to Sesto San Giovanni, where two young policemen approached him because they looked suspicious. So apparently political correctness is not on the top of the list for Italian police. If you look suspicious, they're going to stop you and ask you questions. Gee, what a concept. But they said he was carrying a small backpack, and from that backpack, he produced a gun and shot at one of the police officers, wounding him in the shoulder. And he then ran and hid behind a nearby car, but other police officers managed to shoot him at least once, possibly twice, killing him on the spot. And he was identified by fingerprints. One of the reasons they think that he may have been in Italy is that he spent 4 years in an Italian jail. Police at this point are now trying to determine whether or not he knew someone in this town. It was kind of a suburb of Milan, Italy. And so trying to find out whether or not maybe he had any accomplices here, somebody maybe that he was staying with or something of that nature. And turns out, and if you go to the Drudge Report this morning, unless it's been refreshed and there's new things popping up there, that this guy, this Tunisian, I don't know if you want to call him refugee, Tunisian citizen, Tunisian national, Anis Amri, well, he originally came to Europe in 2011 by way of the Arab Spring. So that's going to be a little problematic for people like German Chancellor Angela Merkel, who, threw open the doors and said basically, come on down, like we were all on The Price is Right. And that's exactly what has been happening. And this report also goes on to say that the reason he spent 4 years in an Italian jail is that he attempted to set fire to a school. He was later convicted of vandalism, threats, and theft. And this is also very interesting. He spent almost 4 years in that Italian prison before being ordered out of the country after Tunisia refused to accept him back because he did not have the proper ID. So to get into Tunisia, even if you are a terrorist and a Tunisian national, you are a person who has been born in Tunisia, they will not let you back in the country without, look at that, proper ID. And he then went on to Germany and applied for asylum there, but this was rejected also after he was identified by security agents as a potential threat. Once again, he could not be deported back to Tunisia because of, wait for it, lack of identification documentation. Translation, no ID. A spokesman for Angela Merkel said that the German chancellor will discuss the deportation of rejected asylum applicants during a phone conversation with Tunisian President Beji Said Essebsi. I'm sure I butchered his name. I'm sorry for that. And of course, this attack this week in Germany has put all of Europe on pretty much pins and needles. Everybody is on pretty high alert. And in the early hours of Friday morning, German special forces arrested two men suspected of planning an attack on a shopping mall in the city of Oberhausen in the western state of North Rhine-Westphalia. And the men, who are two brothers from Kosovo, aged 28 and 31, were arrested in the city of Duisburg on information from security forces. So, you know, where there's one Tunisian national, there are a few more guys who are willing to pick up the baton and run with it and keep planning attacks. And kind of as a side note to this, that this is a report I have from the Daily Caller. This is from yesterday, I believe. Yes, yesterday. Again, report from the Daily Caller that this guy, Anis Amri, well, he had practically every red flag known to any intelligence agency attached to his name. It says that he was a known criminal and potential terrorist to several Western intelligence agencies, and this was prior to the attack in Berlin on Monday. They describe him as a Tunisian refugee. There's that key word again, refugee. That word, I believe, is going to come back to bite Angela Merkel in the butt a whole lot of times. And again, this goes on to say that he may have entered Europe as early as 2011 and basically says what I just talked about, how he spent time in jail in Italy. And along the way, Amri was considered so dangerous by U.S. intelligence agencies, he was at one point on a U.S. no-fly list. U.S. officials also say that he communicated with ISIS via secure messaging apps, and he had done research on how to build a bomb. Amri fell under the spell of a prolific ISIS sympathizing cleric during his time in Germany, so he was radicalized in Germany and was reportedly given two options. The first option was to join the ISIS caliphate in Iraq and Syria. The second was to carry out an attack in Germany. How this attack happened, in case people don't know the details, Amri hijacked a truck on Monday. A Polish man driving the truck. He killed the driver. There was a struggle, and got the truck and plowed into the market. And the Polish truck driver's body was found in the cab after Amri fled. His wife, the truck driver's wife, told local media he had hoped to finish his deliveries early and spend Christmas with his family. So, again, here, once again, this guy had every red flag, and people kept bouncing him around. Tunisia didn't want him back. He went to France. He ended up in Germany, where he became radicalized. And now you have 12 people in a market dead and a truck driver dead, who all he was doing was trying to finish up his work a little bit early so he could get home to his family for Christmas. And, you know, the Obama administration for the next month, let's make that, let's see, 30, 29, 28, I'm sorry, 27 days, but who's counting? For the next 27 days, the Obama administration will not say the words radical Islamic terrorism. You can count on that. But again, that all changes January 20th, 2017. I am going to take a quick break. We will come back. We will talk President-elect Trump. We will talk Obama. We will also, for the last time on Conservative Cauldron Radio, well, it's been a tradition here at Conservative Cauldron Radio, and, well, we'll do it for the last time here now that the Obama years, thankfully, are wrapping up. So, plus a lot, a whole bunch more stuff to get to today on this Christmas Eve edition of Conservative Cauldron Radio. So please do not go anywhere. Stay right where you are. I'll be right back.
This is Dinesh D'Souza, and you are listening to Red Nation Rising Radio.
Conservative Cauldron Radio.
The experts at Web.com want to build your business a successful website for free, just like we did for these current Web.com customers.
We've looked at other website designers. There's nobody better than Web.com.
Web.com can build your website in as little as 7 days free. Plus, we'll promote it on all the major search engines. If after 30 days you're happy, we'll continue to provide promotion, hosting, support, and maintenance, all for one low monthly fee. If not, cancel and pay nothing.
If you're in business and you don't have a web presence, you won't be taken seriously.
Call right now and you'll also get a free .com or .net domain name for your new website powered by VeriSign, the world's leading domain name provider.
No upfront charge for site build, after which ongoing fees apply. Rights to site are relinquished when canceled. Domain included during active service, after which fees apply.
855-296-9017. 855-296-9017. 855-296-9017. That's 855-296-9017.
Look at these three words written larger than the rest, with a special pride never written before or since. Tall words, proudly saying,
"We the people."
That's what you called Eid Blabnista.
It was not written for the chiefs of kings, or the warriors, or the rich, or the powerful, but for all the people. Down the centuries, you have slurred the meaning out of the words, "We the people of the United States." In order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty. To ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish the Constitution, these words and the words that follow, they must apply to everyone or they mean nothing. Do you understand?
You're listening to Red Nation Rising Radio.
Boy, man, I had a rough night's sleep. Boy, whew. I got a letter from the IRS yesterday, and I just couldn't sleep. Man, I'm dying here. Somebody help me.
IRS problems affect more than just your finances. If you're ready to take back control of your life and you owe more than $10,000, you need to call the tax doctor. Their expert staff can immediately protect you from the IRS and state collectors and get you the best possible tax settlement guaranteed. The IRS has recently released new programs geared in helping struggling taxpayers, where you may qualify to settle your tax debt and wipe out up to 85% or more of what you currently owe. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call the tax doctor right now. See if you qualify to pay less. 800-631-9123. 800-631-9123. 800-631-9123. Again, 800-631-9123.
Did you ever look at the stains in your coffee cup and then realize that's exactly what happens to your teeth? Paraswabs is the five-minute solution to get your teeth white without visiting the dentist. This is John Greenhut, the CEO of Paraswabs. And if your teeth are stained from coffee, tea, or smoking, all it takes is 5 minutes with Paraswabs. In 5 minutes, you'll see an average of 2 shades whiter teeth, and in 7 days, 6 shades. It's clinically proven to whiten natural teeth as well as caps and veneers. The secret is a tooth detergent that lifts stains off of your teeth. Best of all, there's no messy strips or trays that you have to leave in your mouth for an hour. Just swab your teeth for 5 minutes and you're done. To try Paraswabs risk-free, call 1-800-925-9963. That's 1-800-925-9963. I guarantee your bright white smile will have your friends, family, and coworkers talking about how great you look. Try it risk-free today. 1-800-925-9963. That's 1-800-925-9963.
We are back. Merry Christmas. happy Christmas Eve Eve to one and all. You are listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio. I am Becky Noble. Thank you, everyone, for chilling with me today while you are running around like crazy people, I'm sure, trying to get everything ready for the big day and the arrival of the big guy on Sunday. That would, of course, be Santa Claus. But we're talking about the terrorist attack in Berlin. And just for those who are just joining possibly and did not hear that the terror suspect was killed in a shootout with Italian police. And I believe there were several other individuals that authorities were taking a look at that could be involved in this attack. But this might possibly be the mastermind of this attack has been killed by police. But in other things that took place on Monday of this week, well, the Electoral College made it official. There were a few defections, but we'll talk about what they were. But long story short, Donald J. Trump is now officially the president-elect. And this is a report from Newsmax. I'm sorry, Reuters. And electors gave him more than the 270 votes needed to win the presidency, despite a massive campaign to do otherwise by the sore losers on the left and the crybabies who need Play-Doh and coloring books and pet therapy. The meeting of the Electoral College, which took place at all 50 state capitals, usually is kind of a formality, but it is something that needs to be done. A bit of extra drama was added to the proceedings as of course, there was a pretty vigorous campaign among activists and celebrities and sore losers to convince electors to vote their conscience, quote, air quote, vote their conscience. Their efforts, of course, failed. Trump, who won 30 states with a total of 306 electoral votes, he amassed enough votes on Monday afternoon when Texas electors cast their ballots. That is according to an Associated Press tally. In fact, the electors who switched their votes as of midday on Monday were at the expense of Hillary Clinton and not to her advantage. Four electors in Washington state, which she did win handily, cast their ballots for someone else. Three went to former Secretary of State Colin Powell, and one went to Faith Spotted Eagle. And in Texas, which Trump won, one elector said that he would instead cast his ballot for Ohio Governor John Kasich. The effort to convince electors to vote against Trump was motivated in part by concerns over Russian influence in the electoral process. Whether or not you're buying that bit of fluff is, that's a whole nother topic. U.S. intelligence agencies have concluded that Russia was behind the hacking of the Democrat National Committee and of John Podesta's emails. He was Hillary Clinton's campaign chairman. And this was all in an effort to tilt the election towards Trump. Some activists pointed to the words Alexander Hamilton, one of the founding fathers, and his intent for the Electoral College to be a guard against foreign influence of elections. Whelps and the rest of those pinheads. The reason that they mention Alexander Hamilton is because if they even know how to spell founding fathers, if they even actually know who several of them might be, the only reason that they know who Alexander Hamilton is because he has a Broadway play named after him. That's the only reason they know. It goes on to say, although Trump won the electoral vote after breaking through in traditionally Democratic states like Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin, he fell far short in the popular vote. Clinton won more than 2.8 million votes and was more than 2 percentage votes ahead of Trump. And this is where the whole let's ditch the Electoral College campaign also comes in. And former President Bill Clinton was an elector in New York State, which there's a lot of people scratching their heads and going, how does that work? But it's kind of like when you hear things that go on in Chicago and the answer to the question is, well, it's Chicago. I think the answer to this question is, well, it is New York. They cast all 29 of their elector votes for Hillary Clinton. Former President Clinton also blamed his wife's loss on Russian hacking, and also FBI Director James Comey's letter, which came 11 days before the election, that it was looking into a new batch of emails in its investigation of her use of a private server. 2 days before the election, Comey informed members of Congress that the investigation had turned up nothing. The results will be officially tabulated and announced in a special joint session of Congress on January 6th. So Donald Trump is official now, and of course it is driving the left out of their collective mind, what there is of it. And, you know, for anybody who did not hear about how Ivanka Trump was on a commercial flight yesterday, I believe, maybe Wednesday, she was on a flight with her children. Keep that in mind. Ivanka Trump on a flight with her children. Yeah, she, you know what? She does have access to private jets and to private planes. But as an American citizen, is it not her right to fly to fly on the flight of her choice, whether it's JetBlue or her father's his own jet? I think as an American citizen, that is her right to choose how she wants to travel with her children. So let's keep that in mind. She was with her children, and she was harassed by a fellow passenger, someone who actually stood up, started jeering. That was the description that was given, jeering at her children. That takes a real, pardon my French, I know it is a family show here, but that takes a real badass to jeer at children, anyone's children, and yelled something to the effect of, "Your father is ruining the country." Well, that's interesting because her father has not even been sworn in as president yet. So however the country is being ruined is still being done by Barack Obama and his administration. But I don't, do people on the left, do they not know how to look at a calendar and read it correctly? Or I don't know. But so we have that. We have Ivanka Trump being along with her children. I believe her husband was also with her. And to her credit, Ivanka is like her stepmother. They are both the epitome of class and style. And so she really did not give this boob the time of day. She, as any mother would be, she was more concerned about the welfare of her children and was trying to distract them, giving them crayons and things of that sort, and really did not address this person. I'll use the term person loosely. But then you also have there has been some pictures published of Ivanka in her own home, in her own private residence, that we as American citizens, the majority of us, all are privileged to have a private residence of your own to decorate and do with what you would like to do with according to your own taste. And Ivanka has several pieces of artwork hanging in her home, and apparently she's fairly knowledgeable about art and artwork, and which is no surprise to me. But there have been several of the artists whose work she has been posted as hanging in her house. They have sent out tweets to the effect of, "Don't hang my work in your house. I'm embarrassed for it to be seen with you," and things of that nature. So we know we've got all these things. We've got Ivanka being harassed on a plane with her children. We've got artists who has their artwork hanging in her home. "Please take it down. We're embarrassed to be seen with you." We also have a guy, I believe it's in Maine, who is a heating oil distributor, who now says he will not do business with anyone who is a Trump supporter. Well, so how is that going to work? Is he going to ask people before he does business with them who they voted for? Because how does he not know that people are going to say, "It's none of your business who I voted for. And if you don't want to do business with me, that's fine. I'll call your competitor." So, I am certainly not an expert on business, but it would seem to me that alienating half of your customer base is really not a sound business strategy. But this has to take the cake. This is this was from The Blaze, and this took place on Wednesday. Winter solstice, by the way. Happy winter solstice. But this took place in New York. Again, this is a report from The Blaze. A New York man is being charged with second-degree murder after allegedly shooting and killing a UPS driver in Ithaca, New York, who he reportedly thought was President-elect Donald Trump. Ithaca police officers responded to a shooting report around 12:52 a.m. last Thursday, finding the body of William Schumacher, 52, of Candor, New York, a UPS driver. According to the officers, the culprit had left the area before they arrived. The suspect, identified by the Ithaca Police Department as Justin Barkley, 38, initially refused to stop when pulled over by police after allegedly fleeing the crime scene. This led to an eight-hour standoff after the shooting and after the pursuit by police officers. That is according to local news station WBNG. Barkley confessed to the killing but later claimed that he killed Donald Trump, not Schumacher. That is according to the New York Daily News. Quote, I shot and killed Donald Trump purposely, intentionally, and very proudly, Barkley told Judge John Rowley, according to the Daily News. He claimed to have known that Trump would be there on that day and that he waited for the president-elect. The judge refused to accept a guilty plea, of course, until after there was a psychiatric examination of Mr. Barkley to take place. But, you know, conviction or no conviction, psychiatric evaluation or no psychiatric evaluation, this is where we're at. We have a guy who murdered an innocent guy just trying to do his job because he thought he was Donald Trump. This is how far. We need to keep this in mind, I think, that, first of all, this is only the beginning. This is the tip of the iceberg. This is only the beginning of the next at least 4 years, if not eight, that we are – this is the new normal for the left. This is what they are willing to do. This is how far they are willing to go, because we already know with the left that the ends justifies the means. You get to your goal by any means necessary. We already know that that is a standard operating procedure for them. But now you're talking about guys who maybe just have a resemblance to Donald Trump, innocent guys, just ordinary, everyday, average Americans who are going about their own business and doing their job, and now they're being murdered because they look like Donald Trump. And you know, nut jobs like this guy see him and think it really is Donald Trump, and if they at the very least take a shot at him, if they don't or God forbid, in the case of this poor man, they kill him. And it's going to be a long 4 years, people. I think it's going to I am very optimistic, as I think a lot of people are, that some things are going to get done. I think that Donald Trump, through his first career as a businessman, knows how to get things done. And I think that it will serve him now in his second career as a politician and president of the United States. I think that there are a lot of people who think that that will happen. And on the flip side of that, we're going to have craziness like this. And we know, of course, that the left's accomplices, the left's propaganda wing, the mainstream media, is going to be all too happy to help them out and further this insanity that's going to go on. Now, whether or not through his actions and through things that take place politically, such as, any economic policy, any foreign policy, anything that is political that turns out to be beneficial for the country as a whole, you know, if they, I don't want to say a change of heart, but if they recognize it, and, you know, I don't think that they will either, but let's just say they do. You know, maybe some of this will change, but there is such a push of this narrative that Donald Trump is the devil, basically. And I think we know that say something to someone enough times, if you spread a lie and you repeat that lie enough times, a lot of people are going to believe it. And so, you know, I'm optimistic. I'm hoping that maybe as things take place and happen, that maybe some of this will subside. But, you know, I'm not going to kid myself. Let's be realistic. Like I just said, this is the tip of the iceberg. This is only the beginning of this kind of stuff. And we can't be silent about it. We can't be silent about it. We've got to call it out. We've got to call it what it is. And we've got to call attention to it. This guy from that basically, I think, chased Ivanka and her family through the airport in New York, posed for a picture on Twitter, and he's very proud, obviously, of what he did. And I'm sure all of his lefty commie buddies are very proud of him as well. But, you know, so they're after they do these kind of things, they're not hiding. So, again, only the beginning, I think. But, you know, we have a tradition here at Conservative Cauldron Radio. You know, Barack Obama, the Obama family, their Christmas vacation holiday, they go to Hawaii. They go where President Obama grew up and spent a lot of his formative years in Hawaii. And well, we always when we talk about Barack Obama and the family vacation in Hawaii at this time of year, well, we like to give a little intro to it. And well, this is the last year that we're going to get to do that. Part of me is a little sad that we won't get to do this anymore. But before we talk about President Obama and his future, well, let's give it a little intro, shall we?
Malakilikimaka is a thing to say on a bright Hawaiian Christmas day. That's the island greeting that we send to you from the land where palm trees sway. Here we know that Christmas will be green and bright, the sun to shine by day and all the stars at night. Melikilikimaka is a wise way to say Merry Christmas to you.
Melikilikimaka is the thing to say on a bright Hawaiian Christmas day. That's the island greeting that we send to you from the land where palm trees sway. Here we know that Christmas will be green and bright, the sun to shine by day and all the stars at night. Melikilikimaka is a wise way to say Merry Christmas to you.
Melikilikimaka is a wise way
to say Merry Christmas to you. Melikilikimaka is the thing to say on a bright Hawaiian Christmas day. That's the island greeting that we send to you from the land where palm trees sway.
Here we know that Christmas will be green and bright,
the sun to shine by day and all the stars at night.
Melikilikimaka is a wise way to say Merry Christmas. A very Merry Christmas.
A very, very, very Merry Christmas to you.
And there you have it, the Obamas off to their family fun Christmas vacation. You can all stop imagining Cousin Eddie on the diving board of the Griswolds' family swimming pool in a Speedo drinking a beer. But Rush Limbaugh, it's no secret that I'm a big fan of Rush. Rush is usually right on, and this was no different. Rush predicted this week on his radio show that Barack Obama's not going anywhere, for anybody who thinks that he is. The official story is that the Obamas are going to stay in Washington while youngest first daughter Sasha finishes high school. Sounds like a reasonable thing. A lot of families do that, put off moves and things like that, so that their kids can finish up school. But oh no, that's not why the Obamas are planning to live in Washington when the president leaves office on January the 20th, 2017. Some 27 days, but who's counting? Rush predicts that Barack Obama will, quote, try to create all kinds of unrest and disunity, unquote, once he leaves office. Rush also went on to say that of course the media will be all too happy again to help him. One of the things that Rush talked about was that he said, quote, Obama's going to call Chuck Todd, or take his pick, John King, Wolf Blitzer, take your pick. He can call any of them. Hey, you know what I want to do? I want to go on TV, grant an exclusive. Trump's about to destroy Obamacare. And lo and behold, all those guys will show up. He said they won't be able to wait. They'll give Obama as much time as he wants to rip into Trump and to warn the American people. He's going to give speeches. He's going to warn them of all the things that Trump wants to do. It's traditionally it is the practice of former presidents to say their farewells and go off they write books, they give speeches, they become involved in charities, they do what ex-presidents do. But not Barack Obama. Oh, no. Again, I think this is one where Rush is right on. During an interview that Obama gave last Sunday, I believe, on NPR, this is a quote from the president. He said, quote, as an American citizen who cares deeply about our country, if there are issues that have less to do with the specifics of some legislative proposal or battle, but go to core questions about our values and our ideals, and if I think that it's necessary or helpful for me to defend those ideals, then I'll examine it when it comes, unquote. Rush went on to say that when something of this nature happens, and make no mistake about it, Barack Obama is going to deem it necessary to criticize every single thing that Donald Trump does. And Rush went on to say that he's going to do it within hours of whatever Donald Trump does, and he's going to do it on major cable news outlets, and the media is going to be 100,000% behind him. And that's going to be his goal, is to be as divisive as he can be and to criticize Donald Trump and criticize his presidency and criticize the – and again, I think Rush is right on. Obama does not have the capacity to leave office with any sort of class or dignity and not comment on his successor the way that George W. Bush has given Barack Obama that luxury. I think it's just the opposite, like Rush said, and I'll go one further. I think he's going to be leading the opposition. That's what I think. And again, of course, Rush is right on when he says that the propaganda wing of the Democrat Party, the mainstream media, they are going to be all too happy to help Obama and help in his divisiveness. And you're not going to have a graceful exit, I don't think, from the Obamas, from the White House and from public life. I think it will be just the opposite. But before I go to a break, very quickly, I'll kind of tease this, that there was a top scientist that was fired by the Obama administration or by Obama himself, because she was not following the party line on climate change. I will get to that, and we will talk about a whole bunch of other things I am going to take a break. You are listening to the Christmas Eve edition of Conservative Cauldron Radio. And please do not go anywhere because I will be right back. Stay right where you are.
Hey, folks. Kevin Jackson here, host of The Kevin Jackson Show. You're listening to Red Nation Rising Radio.
Conservative Cauldron Radio.
Boy, man, I had a rough night's sleep. Boy, whew, I got a letter from the IRS yesterday, and I just couldn't sleep. Man, I'm dying here. Somebody help me.
IRS problems affect more than just your finances. If you're ready to take back control of your life and you owe more than $10,000, you need to call the tax doctor. Their expert staff can immediately protect you from the IRS and state collectors and get you the best possible tax settlement guaranteed. The IRS has recently released new programs geared in helping struggling taxpayers, where you may qualify to settle your tax debt and wipe out up to 85% or more of what you currently owe. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call the tax doctor right now. See if you qualify to pay less. 800-631-9123. 800-631-9123. 800-631-9123. Again, 800-631-9123.
Are you getting squeezed by the economic downturn? Hey, you were doing fine. Then, all of a sudden, you're having a tough time paying your family's credit card bills. Maybe you were downsized or even lost a job, but you still owe 10 grand or more in credit card bills, and you just can't afford the minimum payments anymore. We're here to help. We are the Genesis Debt Partners. We know the secrets to negotiate better terms with your creditors. Make a free 10-minute call right now and learn how we can help you get out of debt. 800-807-9767. If you owe 10 grand or more in credit card debt and you want to learn how you can pay less and get out of debt faster, call right now. 800-807-9767. 800-807-9767. Get out of debt now. 800-807-9767.
The following message is brought to you by Health Markets, your first choice when you need health insurance for your small business. Do you offer health insurance to your employees? Call us now and see if you can save money. Do you want to offer vision and dental to your employees? Call us. Do you think you're paying too much for your current health insurance? Call us. Do you want somebody else to do all the legwork and search thousands of health plans from over 180 health insurance companies nationwide? Call us. We're Health Markets, and thanks to a little-known solution, we could help your business save thousands of dollars on health insurance costs and save your employees money, too. Our service is free. Don't miss the great savings. Call now.
800-470-8021. 800-470-8021. 800-470-8021. That's 800-470-8021.
Health Markets Insurance Agency is DBA of InSphere Insurance Solutions, Inc. Licensed in all states. Product availability varies.
Do you owe $10,000 or more on at least two federal student loans? Then you may qualify for new programs offered by the Department of Education. These programs can reduce your interest, lower your payments, and possibly qualify you for loan forgiveness. If you have $10,000 or more and at least two federal student loans and currently not in school, you may qualify for one of these programs. Call now to check your eligibility. Student loan advisors are standing by to help you determine if you qualify for these new programs. They can help you reduce your interest, lower your payment, and even forgive a portion of your student loan debt. Take control of your financial future. Make this free 5-minute free call now to Nationwide Student Loans and learn how you can reduce your student loan debt.
800-949-8708. 800-949-8708. 800-949-8708. 800-949-8708.
We are back. Not a whole lot of time left, but still a lot of stuff to get to here. You are listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio. You are listening to Red Nation Rising Radio Network, www.rednationrising.us. Before the break, I was talking about a scientist who was fired over her views on climate change. This is from the Washington Free Beacon. It says the Obama administration fired a scientist, intimidated staff at the Department of Energy, and allegedly ordered officials to obstruct Congress all in order to push its climate change agenda. This is from a House committee report. The Washington Free Beacon detailed Tuesday a report released by the House Committee on Science, Space, and Technology, which is chaired by Representative Lamar Smith of Texas, charged senior Obama administration officials of retaliating against the scientist, Dr. Noelle Medding, who was manager of a radiation research program and devised ways to block a congressional inquiry into the radiation research. Instead of providing the type of scientific information needed by Congress to legislate effectively, senior department officials sought to hide information, lobbied against legislation, and retaliated against a scientist for being forthcoming. This is from Congressman Smith in a statement he gave to the Free Beacon. In this staff report based on lengthy record before the committee, much has been revealed about how senior-level agency officials under the Obama administration retaliated against a scientist who did not follow the party line. The scathing analysis comes in the wake of a report of the Department of Energy, who refused to turn over to Donald Trump's transition team the names of its staff members who worked on climate change issues for the Obama administration. The Free Beacon reported the analysis goes into congressional efforts to regulate the low-dose radiation research program, which aimed to test the impact of radiation on human beings. The program started in the 1990s and was meant to support research into waste cleanup and the impact of nuclear weapons. During an October 2014 briefing on the matter, Medding testified, and less than a month later, she was removed from federal service for allegedly providing too much information in response to questions posed by Congress during the briefing, the report stated. Congressman Smith's report found congressional investigators determined the removal was in part retaliation against her because she refused to conform to the predetermined remarks and talking points designed by management to undermine the advancement of the 2014 Radiation Act, unquote. That also comes from the Free Beacon. Congress is recommending a full overhaul of the Energy Department's management structure, also from the Beacon. That is probably a good thing. So, again, if you are not marching in lockstep with the left, well, you know, your time may be limited. Most Democrats don't want Hillary Clinton to run again. This is from the Daily Caller. Former 2016 Democratic presidential nominee Hillary Clinton may have won the popular vote this time around, but the vast majority of voters say they do not want to see her run again. This is from a Suffolk University USA Today poll that was released on Wednesday. Of the independents and Democrats surveyed, a whopping 62% of voters said she shouldn't run in 2020, faring much worse than her primary challenger, Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders, who had just 38% saying he should opt out. Just 23% said they were excited about the thought of her running again after President-elect Donald Trump won by a landslide and a surprise upset. 44% of Democratic and independent voters said they would be excited about Vice President Joe Biden or Sanders to run, while 66% said they would like to see someone entirely new. That could be a problem for the Democrat Party. They have a very not deep bench. Clinton's favorability rating remains low, with 42% saying they have a positive outlook and 55% saying they have an unfavorable view. 40% say they have a favorable opinion of Trump, while just 46% say they have an unfavorable view. The survey was conducted with a sample of 1,000 voters from December 14th to December 18th via landlines and cell phones and reports a margin of error of plus or minus 3 percentage points. So, Hillary Clinton may want to rethink that 2020 run again, because even Democrats are kind of like, you know, maybe you should just go away and let someone else have a turn. Anyway, on that note, very quickly, before we have to get out of here. Listerine mouthwash cures gonorrhea. Oh, yes. In the 19th century, before the advent of antibiotics, Listerine mouthwash was marketed as a cure for gonorrhea. More than 100 years later, researchers said on Tuesday that the claim may be true. Listerine killed gonorrhea bacteria in petri dishes in the lab and in the throats of infected people, a team reported in the journal sexually transmitted infections. There's a journal for that. This meant that daily rinsing and gargling with the popular mouthwash might be a, quote, might be a cheap and easy way to prevent and control the sexually transmitted infection. Despite claims by the manufacturer as far back as 1879 that treats gonorrhea, no published scientific studies had tested the assertion, wrote the Australian research team. So they decided to do exactly that, driven by concern over rising gonorrhea infection levels in many countries, especially among gay and bisexual men. Also known as the clap, gonorrhea is spread through unprotected oral, vaginal, or anal sex. The team grew cultures of Neisseria gonorrhea, I can't even say this, gonorrhea bacteria in the lab, then applied different dilutions of two different types of alcohol-containing Listerine mouthwash. Listerine, quote, significantly reduced the amount of bacteria on the culture plates where a saline solution did not. The team then conducted a trial with gonorrhea-infected men, testing the bacteria levels in their throats before and after gargling with Listerine. Compared to those rinsing with a saltwater solution, those who used the mouthwash had less gonorrhea bacteria in the throat 5 minutes after gargling, the team reported. Listerine mouthwash is a cheap, easy-to-use, and effective agent that inhibits gonorrhea growth and requires careful consideration and study, wrote the researchers. According to the 2005 book Freakonomics, Listerine was invented as a surgical antiseptic, later sold as a floor cleaner and gonorrhea cure. It became a commercial success in the 1920s as a solution for bad breath. Bad breath, floor cleaning. I used to have a friend who would clean the battery terminals on his car with Coca-Cola. So, you know, there's a little tip there for your New Year's Eve festivities, should you need it. With that, I am out of here. Everyone, please have a very safe and very, very Merry Christmas. Hope everybody gets everything they want. Hope Santa Claus is good to you. Go to conservativecauldron.blogspot.com. Politichicks should be some new stuff up there. Lanterns.buzz, new stuff there. Facebook.com/BeckyNoble and on Twitter at Patriot Witch. Again, everyone, have a very, very Merry Christmas. I will see you next time.
Stay in.